Kaya all. It being the allotted time, I'll declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Kaya ngala karich, winji ngala kninning. Ngala karich nidja budja ba wajak nyunga budja ngala kninning. We pay our respects to the traditional owners, the Wadjuk Noongar people on whose land we meet this evening. Councillor attendance, we have a full deck of councillors in attendance. We have Councillor McWilliam deputising for Councillor Hamilton. And in the gallery with us this evening, we've got Councillor Rossi and Councillor Johnson, and observers include Mr. John Christie, Ms. Melanie Reid, Mr. Brett Jackson, and we have visitors, our esteemed legal counsel, Mr. Greg Mullen, and Dr. Jude Baum in attendance. Which brings us then to agenda item number 3, which is disclosures of interest. I believe we've received 2 written disclosures of interest, one from Councillor Powell in relation to agenda item 19.2, and one from Councillor Marks also in relation to agenda item 19.2. Are there any further declarations of interest at this time? No. Which then takes us to agenda item number 4, announcements by the chairman without discussion. So this evening, if you've not already received them, you will receive 2 envelopes from staff. One relates to the related party transactions and disclosures, and the other relates to annual returns. So make sure you get those filled out and returned in a timely manner. And in your red folders on the desk in front of you, there are 3 documents. One of those documents is marked confidential. It relates to an item that will be dealt with under confidential business. And the second item answers provided in writing to questions submitted prior to the meetings from Councillor Marks. There is one small typo in relation to answers given for item 19.1, question D2, on the line where it makes reference to the figure of $10 million. That $10 million refers to major land transactions. Staff will be able to clarify at the appropriate time. Agenda item 5, response to previous questions taken on notice. There are none. Agenda item 6, public question time. I do not believe we have anyone from the public in attendance. No. Item 7, applications for leave of absence. Councillors, do we have any applications for leave at this time? Councillor Johnson.
Thanks, sorry, Chair. I'm not sure if it's previously noted, but I'll take request leave of absence from the 1st to the 11th of July inclusive, please.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Any further requests? No, then can I please have a mover and a seconder to approve the application for Councillor Johnson from the 1st of July to the 11th of July inclusive. That's moved Councillor Clark. Seconded Councillor Jeans. Is there anyone against? I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. Agenda item 8, petitions, deputations and presentations. There are none for this evening. Agenda item 9 is confirmation of minutes from a previous meeting. So minutes were circulated for the ordinary meeting of council on the 27th of May. I don't believe we've received any notifications for variations. No. That being the case, can I please have a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the meeting held 27 May be confirmed. So moved Councillor Congerton. Seconded Councillor Jeans. Anyone against? All those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against, that's carried unanimously. Okay, agenda item 10 is questions by members of which due notice has been given. So, as I mentioned previously, we have the answers in your red folder pack. Because the questions relate to different agenda items, and because one of those agenda items is proposed to be dealt with in confidential business, I propose that we deal with those questions as a part of the officer report for each agenda item as it arises. And there are no further questions submitted? No. Okay. So, agenda item 11, questions by members without notice. Councillors, do we have any questions that don't relate specifically to any of the officer reports at this time? No. Okay. That then takes us to agenda item 12, which is the announcement of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. So we've got three confidential report items that will be dealt with under section 19. 12.1, the Hazelmere Wood Waste to Energy Plan update. 12.2, item in relation to legal committee minutes. 12.3, the Chief Executive Officer Performance and Salary Review for 21-22 and Objective Setting for 21-22. Item 13, business not dealt with from a previous meeting. There is none. Agenda item 14 is reports of employees. So we've got the questions that relate to item 14.4 and 14.6 from Councillor Marks, of which due notice was given. So the responses to those questions have been provided. Councillor Marks, are you satisfied with the responses? Are there any further follow-up questions that you have in relation to 14.4 and 14.6?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we've got seven items to be dealt with. Also in the red folder pack, we have a notice of an alternative motion that's been received from Councillor Congerton, which is in relation to 14.5. So I propose that we remove 14.5 from en bloc. Are there any other motions, any other items in 14.1 through 14.7 that councillors wish to have lifted from en bloc at this time? No? Okay, that being the case, before we go to considerations of those items en bloc, do we have any questions relating to those items? No. Okay, that being the case, it is open to us to deal with those items en bloc. Do we have a mover and a seconder that, with the exception of item 14.5, which is to be withdrawn and dealt with separately, that Council adopts the recommendations in the report of employees for the remainder of those items? So moved, Councillor Dorr, seconded by Councillor Congerton. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, those against, that's carried unanimously. That then takes us to consideration of item 14.5. I'll just give councillors a second to get to that on their diligent. So there is an officer recommendation that is in the report in our agendas, and we also have before us the notice of alternative motion from Councillor Congerton. I'll just give councillors a minute to read through Councillor Congerton's alternative motion. Okay, councillors, Councillor Congerton, I take it it's your intention then to move the alternative motion?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, do we have a seconder for the alternative motion? That has been seconded by Councillor Zanino. The motion has been moved and seconded. Is there anyone against the alternative motion? Yes.
Sorry, Chair. I had a couple of questions to the mover.
Certainly, yes. You're welcome to ask those of Councillor Congerton.
So I just wanted to clarify in terms of the process. The alternate motion has item 2 and 3 with a final recommendation to the MRC on or before the 20th of August. So is that's the, as members and delegates to the MRC, we would come together and make that final recommendation and then things would go back to each member council? I'm trying to understand, given that it's a member council decision as to whether or not they sign up to a new establishment agreement, how we can sort of set the timelines for them. I don't quite understand that.
The intent of the motion, particularly in 2, is to request that all member council, as participants of this EMRC, already have the current draft replacement establishment agreement, but it hasn't been progressed through, as far as I'm aware, from any council. It may have been progressed through the CEOs, but not through the council. So this is a request, not an instruction or a command. It is a request that each member council, as participants, review the establishment document as in its current form, which includes various options. And then 3 would suggest, or I am suggesting, that those recommendations that come out of 2 back to the MRC by the 20th of August, then there is a briefing session to discuss those documents back into this chamber. Now, I won't go into the debate of it, but that's the essence of it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Congerton. Any further questions?
Just as a follow-up to that, so what happens if there are member councils that don't do a nil return or don't engage with that timeline? Does something then still come to the MRC on the 23rd of September, even if a number of member councils haven't provided any feedback?
I would think, Councillor Clark, if the participant or participants decide that they don't wish to entertain a review of this document, then the briefing session would indicate those who have and those who haven't.
Thank you. And I have a question too. So, Councillor Congerton, is it your intention then that the motion also includes a requirement on the CEO to enter into any correspondence with the member councils to give effect to the decision and make sure that that correspondence and the tracking of it is made known to councillors of the MRC?
I haven't written that into the motion, but I would imagine that our CEO of the EMRC would notify all member councils of the resolution and all of our member participant CEOs would be able to read this resolution quite comfortably, or it will be brought to their attention anyway.
Yes, that would be my assumption too, Mr. CEO. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so we have the alternative motion. It's been moved by Councillor Congerton. It's been seconded by Councillor Zanino. We've had questions. Is there anyone that wishes to speak against the motion? Okay. Councillor Clark's indicated she wishes to speak against. Councillor Congerton, it is over to you to exercise your moving rights if you so wish.
I don't intend to speak this item. I'll reserve my right to the end. Thank you.
Okay. And Councillor Zanino, do you wish to exercise your seconding rights?
Mr. Chairman, I think the motion is virtually self-explanatory and it's straightforward, and I think it's just common sense. So I urge all councillors to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Zanino. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. We've sort of spoken on this issue previously, so I'll refer anyone listening, obviously, to previous comments in previous meetings. But I think that the dilemma I have with this as a process is it still seems like we're rushing this, and I'm not quite sure why. I don't like the idea of trying to rush things through before local government elections. I think, you know, whether I'm sat here or anyone else is sat here after October is a matter for the electors, and we should then just proceed in an orderly fashion to deal with these things as and when they should. And I think we had a workshop on this, and I thank everyone actually who attended, because it was actually fascinating. I mean, this is how founding documents are created. It was a bit like being there when the US Constitution was created. I think it was really constructive, and what I got out of that workshop was that there were fundamental components of how the MRC operates that still haven't quite got consensus as to that. Now, obviously, I can't speak on behalf of the member councils, but that was my sense from that, and I would want to see consensus on a number of those key features before we actually start drafting the detail. So I was actually looking forward to the idea of another workshop where we would actually say, right, well, these were the four issues in contention. Let's work through some options, and then those are the options that can be go back to member councils and people who haven't sat around this table can actually come to this issue within quite a lot of detail and understand what they think is in the best interests of their member council as to how AMRC is structured. So that's why I'm considering voting against. I'm happy to listen to the debate, though, and consider it really carefully.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Do we have any other speakers for? Councillor O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this motion in that it deals with the biggest and most contentious issue that this council faces and this organisation faces at the moment. And I think we can't move on with some of the other lower level ones, albeit still important, until this matter is dealt with and resolved. So I support this document going out to each member council for them to resolve to support or not support within the timeframes provided.
Thank you, Councillor Connor. Any other speakers against?
Through the chair. Look, I'm allowed to ask a question because there is clarification. Thank you, through the chair. Just clarification on this final recommendation. The word is recommendation and not approval of a document, I assume. So that dot point four means that EMRC will have a position possibly on the 23rd of September, but that position document, the establishment agreement, would then have to go back to each member council. Is that my understanding of the process?
Yeah, I imagine so. Look, and the reality is the establishment agreement can only be changed with the unanimous consent of all member councils, so which is why I think the word requests is appropriately placed in Councillor Congerton's alternative motion. Okay. Any other speakers for? Any other speakers for or against? Before I return to you, Councillor Congerton, for your right of reply, I'll exercise my right to speak in favour of the motion. I take on board Councillor Clark's concerns about the need for further discussion, but I don't think further discussion is prevented from occurring. If this motion was carried, in fact, I think it might help facilitate further discussion in the sense that if some member councils come back with positions about sections of the draft establishment agreement that they disagree with, it will help us understand what the real points of difference are. And should we end up in a situation where there's not unanimous consent to adopt the circulated draft, but some member councils have particular concerns with some sections, that might well then inform a later workshop to get, as you say, consensus on those outstanding issues. And for that reason, I'm happy to support the motion. Councillor Congerton, you have the right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Look, councillors, the officer's motion was to discuss a follow-up workshop to be held in 2021 with no specific time frame. It then went on to say it and agrees to defer the presentation of the final report of review until a later date for its consideration. So let's run some hypotheticals down here that maybe there's an agreement for a workshop in November 2021 and then a final report could be considered in February, April, May, June of 22 and or later, if be the case. This certainly doesn't progress this document to the need to people to have a look at it by all of the participant councils. And I'm using the words participant because we had this little discussion about whether we're participants or non-participants. So if this goes back to each of your own local government and your CEO takes this on board and establishes a briefing session in your own local government to discuss the content of the draft document, your own local government can progress the content within the draft. And to be honest with you, I don't know how each participant government is going to look at this document. What I do know, there seem to be some stumbling blocks at the end, but in essence, the main structure of the document has now become quite sound. So it needs to go to that next level, and then from that next level to come back into this chamber. You may recall, as I said earlier, you know, this was supposed to happen in June 2021, and we've pushed the barrow, by the resolution, we pushed the barrow a little bit further. And I certainly don't wish to push a barrow out by another year, another 10 months, another 6 months, when I think our own participant councillors should be made available of the document and the content of the document and the ramifications of the document so they can make a decision back to this council. And that's why I'm suggesting we look at these timelines. I don't consider it to be rushed at all. And if you say talk about consensus, Councillor Clark, you're dead right. You know, and I don't think that another workshop is going to get anywhere near where we thought we might get to, listening to the last workshop that we had, because it's the sitting at the back end of the document and some of the options that are available that need to be ironed out. So I'm hoping that you support this moving forward, and certainly then it will be on the table to come back to the MRC for that particular briefing and then a consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Congerton. That draws to a close debate on the item. I'll now put that item. All those in favour, please raise your hand. And those against, that is carried unanimously. Okay, that then takes us to agenda item number 15, which is reports of committees. We have at 15.1... minutes from the Audit Committee meeting held on the 3rd of June. So just getting back to Councillor Mark's written questions, we have answers provided in relation to item 15.1. So at this stage, Councillor Marks, have you had a chance to review the answers? Are you satisfied with the responses? Do you have any follow-up questions?
Quite happy, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Marks. All right. Okay, so we have the second report is the minutes of the Legal Committee meeting held on the 3rd of June. It is open to us to move the officer recommendations in relation to reports of committees. Yes. And we can't deal with on block. So. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yes, good point. Thank you. So I propose now that we deal with the item separately. So we have before us the officer recommendation in relation to item 15.1, the audit committee meeting. Any questions on that item? Yes, Councillor Johnson.
Sorry, yeah, my questions relate to 11.3, the annual budget. And given that this has been some questions raised about that and some new information, I'm just wondering if we about the timeline, about do we have to approve that at this meeting or send that back to be revised? I have some concerns about that item.
Through the chair, I'll start. Ideally, we'd like to start the new year with the budget that has been approved, because it just makes the process a bit easier. We're still waiting for confirmation from the big commercial customer whether they're going to go to the other side. It's most likely that we're going to lose the volume. The impact was stated in the briefing, which is about $1.36 million. We're just getting a lot of, we are a commercial business. 36% of our income is commercial. We just had a windfall over the last 3 weeks of some contaminated site remediation, and we actually got in $1.4 million from that project. So there are other commercial projects on the horizon, so that's why we're suggesting just start the new year based on the budget we set originally, and then do a reset after the first quarter and see how we're travelling for the first quarter.
So noting that we're not required to, or we must do a review between January and March next year, do we need to amend the recommendation to include a review after the end of the first quarter?
If I may respond to that, as stated by the CEO, we would like to review the operations in terms of the tonnages coming through over the first quarter, and with regards to the financial performance, that will be reported back to Council each month. So I think we will have a better position whether we do need to do a reforecast over that time. So come next month, you're going to have the June figures, and the following month you're going to have the July figures as well. So I think we will be reporting back how we're traveling, and obviously for us as management, we will be constantly reviewing those figures and looking at our operations for efficiencies.
Thank you. Do you have any further follow-up questions, Councillor Johnson? No. Other councillors? Councillor Jeans.
Yeah, through the chair, and just for the CEO. Look, the setting of the budget obviously is one of those things where, as you point out in the report, you don't click rates and things like this, but the member councils have to go through their budget process. So if EMRC delays their process, that makes it harder for member councils. Is that correct?
Yes. Chief Financial Officer.
Right. Through the chair, the budget in terms of the impact on the member councils is through the rates that we charge, and that's what's requested through the fees and charges. So in terms of your own financial debt, that will not hold up your budget. The only one that I believe you're referring to is our annual report. That's subject to a different report later on in the year.
Mr. CEO.
Through the chair, so there is a post-budget preparation event note in the actual report. It's on page 174. And what we said there is that following the preparation of the 2021-2022 draft annual budget, a major customer will be disposing its tonnages elsewhere. Whilst it anticipated that there are other opportunities to offset this, a review of the 2021-2022 annual budget will be undertaken following the first quarter of the financial year. So there is the commitment to do that review after the first quarter.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. So within consideration of the Audit Committee minutes, we've got recommendations from the Audit Committee that relate to the internal audit, the draft corporate business plan, and the MRC draft annual budget, and finally the risk management update. So it's open to us to consider all of those recommendations on from the audit committee en bloc. Does anyone wish to lift any of those items for individual consideration at this time? No. Okay, do I have a mover then that we accept the recommendations of the audit committee en bloc? So moved, Councillor Conger. Sorry, Councillor Boyd, you had a question?
I did, thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just try not to stray into the realms of a confidential item we have coming later. But I'm just wondering in regards to item 19.1, how does that fit under the consideration of the budget that's been prepared? Has it been factored in there or not? Should one of the recommendations be adopted?
Yes, so we budgeted, through the chair, we budgeted for the last quarter of income from that project. If that project doesn't go ahead, we would take that into account in that October review.
So, follow-up question. So that's budgeted for income. What about for the expenditure that's required?
Yes, so in the budget presentation, we had an increase of the headcount of six people, which is a mechanic and an operator for the FOGO loader and some bin taggers. And there were two staff in there for the running of the facility, item 19.2. And they obviously would not be engaged then. So there would be a saving, and that, again, would be part of that review in October. So so it's income and cost that would be taken into account in that review, if the project doesn't go ahead.
I'm cautious of the item being confidential, but and try not to strain there, but I think it's option one, request council to do something, and if that's done, has that been factored into?
That's correct. That has been factored into the current budget.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. CEO. Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Okay, so moved, Councillor Congerton, that we accept the recommendations from the audit committee en bloc. Seconded, Councillor Zanino, is there anyone against? There being no one against, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Those against, that's carried unanimously. Which now brings us to item 15.2, which is for the minutes of the legal committee. Okay. All right. If the minute taker could please note that Councillor Marks and Councillor Powell left the chamber voluntarily at 6:34 p.m. prior to consideration of item 15.2. Yes, and also the CEO and technical officer staff from the City of Belmont
and,
as well.
And the deputy.
And also the deputy, thank you. I couldn't see behind me. I appreciate your assistance, Councillor Jennings. Okay. Mindful of the sensitivity of the content of the report, are there any questions from councillors before we move to consideration of the recommendation? No. Okay, that being the case, can I please have a mover and a seconder for the adopting the recommendations of the legal committee? So moved, Councillor Jeans, seconded Councillor Congerton. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I put that motion. All those in favour? Those against, that is carried unanimously in the absence of Councillors Marks and Powell. If staff could please let Councillors Marks and Powell and the delegation from Belmont know they are welcome to return to the chamber. Okay, that brings us to agenda item 16, reports of delegates. There are none that I'm aware of. Item 17, members' motions of which previous notice has been given. There are none. Item 18, new business of an urgent nature approved by the chairman. There is none. Item 19, confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. So there are two items, item 19.1, Hazelmere Wood Waste to Energy Plant Update, item 19.2, Legal Committee Minutes, seeking instructions, and the third one over the page is the Chief Executive Officer Performance and Salary Review. Can I please have a mover and a seconder that the meeting be closed to members of the public and that we go behind closed doors? That is moved, Councillor Jeans, seconded Councillor Congerton. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against? Can the minute taker please note that the motion was carried with all councillors in favour but for Councillor Johnson, who voted against, and I declare that carried. Could we please go behind closed doors and switch off the recording device?